It's like you think you know a show and you think you've like pieced together how everything works, and then they just throw in some shit that makes no sense and throws just flushes all the theories down the toilet.
Does not.
And
There's other
you're
theories.
and I'm left to just cry
Okay. You and you alone, Belty McGripenstein.
Welcome to Cast Ranger, bitches.
Cue the roll call!
We're live! Watching all the anime! Red Caster, Joe Raven!
Equipment Wielder! Blue Caster, Ishida's Azeel!
Respecting the source material! Green Caster, Zenshi! Actually White! Black Caster, Ransack!
Loyal and Loud! Pink Caster, Lightred!
Broadcasting loud and opinionated perspectives across the internet!
Radio Sentai! Cast Ranger! On air!
Okay, welcome to episode 24 of Radio Sentai Cast Ranger.
Where Ichi whines about belt mechanics.
Yay!
Where apparently someone recently discovered that Gaiman and Ryuki pretty much have the same story concepts.
And I beat up someone else who took my powers.
You mean how Gaiman is the same show as Madoka?
Jeez, it's almost like Kamen Rider is about men turning
so
into monsters.
How Gaim is like Ryuki. The uncanny resemblance between Ryuki and Gaim.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Gaim, Ryuki, Madoka.
But it's funny. Primary Rider's naive. The second Rider's cold.
Primary Rider's naive? That's a trope throughout most Rider.
The female main character is a mystery. Someone who is responsible in starting the Rider War. They fight for a cause. The main
Are we humoring this?
Yes, the main antagonist is a professor slash
scientist. Redcaster, ruling on this?
Alternate dimension, eccentric co-worker,
Let's
friendly
move
boss.
Move on, we can save it for later.
Writ of fuck it has been declared. Moving on!
Really?
Later meaning never.
Nobody cares! Correct! First.
Later meaning if we have time after our fucking special segment.
Kamen Rider Gaiden!
First off, I want to make a note on last week's podcast. After we recorded, I did look it up and confirmed that, yes, the Naked Emperor from 25 of Tokyuger was, in fact, the actor who played Shinken Brown in Shinkenger.
And you're the only one who gives a shit.
Fuck you. The actor's name was formerly Giancarlo something. I don't remember his last name. Apparently, he changed his name to John Kaminari. So he changed his name to John Lightning. That's amazing.
And promptly, all of the bitches gravitated to that one place where he was. Quantifiably, all of the bitches.
So I just wanted to shove that in there.
I love quantum bitches theory.
You're
wondering where all the bitches are? They're in like Nebraska or some
quantifiable
shit.
Bitches.
Yes, quantifiable quantities of quantupulous bitches.
Quantupulous.
I made it up for the purpose.
I challenge that Scrabble style.
I never said it was a word. I said just said.
Someone looked that up.
I just said I made it up for the context of this one sentence.
No triple word score for you, bitch.
We're not playing Scrabble.
Not anymore, because I just flipped the board.
We're talking about Fruit Samurai. Stop questioning my vocabulary.
Okay. What were we doing again?
Gaim, I think.
Gaim.
Okay, Gaim episode 44. So, one of the things that I noticed, and maybe this is just me, but it looked weird from the perspective, like, Chucky and Pekko find Coda's dead body, and it looks like Chucky is smiling while she's like, oh, this is cruel! That was just a weird camera angle.
Yeah, it is.
Speaking of weird camera angles... That fucking Kaito Michi kiss.
Yeah. The internet took full
advantage of that. So, as
everyone's
aware of, Kaito has a habit of constantly just pulling people towards him really closely. Just so he can be like, to yell, or like to just say, you suck. So, there's just this camera angle for a split second. It looks like he like kissed him, and now that's like a Rider meme all over the place. Yeah,
bet they wish they'd refilmed that.
I saw that when I watched this episode, and I just went, that's going on 4chan in 5.
Yep.
4.
It's three. Already on Tumblr.
The one thing I didn't like about that opening scene was it's like they walked in on that, and we talked about how it was through the expression of artistic direction. Why the fuck are all those feathers still there?
Oh, look!
And not one comment from them about it.
Apparently, they were in a pillow factory.
But that's just it! Just, how else would no one have questioned that, let alone it be addressed in the first place. Not even just a matter of...
I just like to imagine as they're, like, carrying him out, just on their way out, Pecco just, like, turns his head. Why are there feathers?
Well, I'm almost certain... Yeah.
Yeah, there's one of the Tumblr memes.
Guess
for
who's
scene.
Going to be great tonight?
With his banana.
Oh, anyway. Like I was saying,
he's gonna
though.
Pop some grapes.
Didn't they, in the middle of the fight between Michi and Kota, like, break a box or,
yes.
or something?
Yes. Ryugen Yomi jumped and slashed with the halberd and opened, like, sacks of feathers or some shit.
Because they're in a pillow factory.
No, that's what I said. That's what I said last week.
It's like, that's. Legit, why are there feathers everywhere? Because we're in a factory where they fill pillows with feathers.
Do you not see the Obus Form logo?
I know, right? Anyway, so it's like nobody's questioning us. They know where they are. Of course, you know, Kota and his overlord powers comes with a healing factor now.
Yeah. It's like, more like a plot factor.
Got stabbed through chest. Wound disappeared really fast.
Well, not disappeared completely. He just...
It just...
Yeah.
Could say the same about Kaido, though.
Yeah, but Kaido's makes a little more sense in the fact that it was just like, oh, yeah, no, that thing where I'm kind of get that same thing where Kaido
is
drawing out of
isn't fully an overlord.
And now I control
yet.
The power of the forest. Guys.
Well, let's look at it this way. It's like Kaido took the medicine directly, whereas Kota got a suppository.
Mm. Kota's line at the very end of this episode is, oh god, Kaido, you've become like me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... If Kaito can heal himself of that wound because of his new powers, and those powers are essentially the same thing that Kota's going through, of course he's got a healing factor. It's part of the package.
The thing is, Kaito's is more efficient because he willingly became one with the power of Helheim, whereas Kota is like, every time he used Kiwami, it bit by bit is changing him.
Well, there's a difference between the power of Helheim and the power of the Golden Fruit, though. Like, his powers come from the Golden Fruit, and therefore, yeah, he's turning into something native to Helheim, but he's turning into something more than Kaito. Kaito just ate a fruit.
Well, it's more like he combined eating a fruit with all of the poison he had already had in his body from that wound that he'd been, you know, keeping at bay.
It's tropes that are as old as the hills. You got the main character who attains power through great destiny and great potential and stuff like that, while the other one is the one that has to work really, really hard, get down and dirty, and get those powers through less pleasant means.
In L5R terms, it's great destiny versus dark fate.
Exactly. And Kaito's just dark fate, because he decided to do basically the same thing, but in a much more dangerous way.
Yeah.
It just makes Kaito the more daring and dynamic character, which he is. He is the daring of the two, whereas Kota is the initiative and the morality. I mean, Kaito's defining characters are his assertiveness and his desire for power and strength. His ethics are called into question, but his motives are as anybody's, really. It's just, I want to become the best person I can be and be strong. But he's just ethically not as good a person as Kota. And
you know what's interesting about Kaido's motives now? He has flat out said in this episode that his main objective is to get Mai back. Because he's like, I'll destroy the world and take Mai back.
Because she has the fruit.
Yeah, I don't think...
No, but he could have easily said, I'll destroy the world and take the golden fruit.
Yeah, but I feel like it's kind of a half and half thing where
probably.
He could really care less, but at the same time... She's has been that kind of grounding factor for him the better part of the show, mm-hmm. where they've kind of had their little moments.
Bits and pieces.
Yeah, they've had their moments here and there.
Fuck, does he just look so evil now? Just like looking
evil
at
him. Evil hairdo.
The messed up hair. Kind of.
No, but he just has like that evil fucking glare, and I'm just like, you're...
The power of eyes
Jesus.
Half open.
Can I just mention, like, Yoko in this episode? The weirdest boner all throughout this entire episode for Yoko.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Just those moments where she was like, my entire purpose in life is to find a king and help him conquer everything. Yep. And I will follow that king.
That's one weird ass question to answer in a speed dating session.
Yeah.
If I decided
hot
to
as fuck.
If I decided to destroy the entire world and all of humanity, would you follow me?
Yes!
No, I'd shoot you and I'd take your death ray.
I think what's more...
Kevin, you need to warn Connell.
What? I think What's more interesting is that Coda finally revealed speculations in that how would the situation have been handled were there to be more resolve, in that he went, what the fuck? No, we were in this together. If it came that I happened to claim the golden fruit, I was going to give it to you.
Yeah.
I just thought that was interesting, that he was just kind of
It's more like, I would be okay with you having it if you were using it to save the world.
Well, yeah.
Well, the point of a MacGuffin like the golden fruit is that the person who doesn't want it is the person who's going to use it the best.
Yeah.
So Coda's being built up as the character who is literally the only person in this not in it for anything other than just everyone's safety.
Yeah.
He's just there and he wants to secure the golden fruit simply to make sure that this whole thing ends. He doesn't necessarily want it.
Yeah.
In fact, I think it's quite the opposite. I don't think he's indifferent towards the idea. I think he just doesn't want it.
No, absolutely.
Fuck it.
He just wants things to go back to normal, which is a perfectly understandable approach.
He wants his tree back.
Well,
no, that's his tree. No, that's Kaito.
Another big theme in this show
is... He has his tree. He controls the forest now.
Yeah, he can make trees.
He can make his own.
But another theme in this show I found has always been the ambiguity of progress. Like, the ambiguousness of progress. Like, Helheim in and of itself is not an evil force. It's actually a very effective metaphor for progress. If anything, yeah. The golden fruit gives you that. But... the main character, it's interesting that the main character of this show wants everything to go back to the way it was. And that, I feel like, is going to come into play as something that could be just as bad as the possible future.
Oh, wow, I didn't even think of that. The whole Coda wanting everything to go back versus Sagara's wanting everything to evolve.
Stagnancy is just as much an evil as improper progress. Like... if you're too stagnant and if you're too entrenched in what was before, just because you pine for it, that can be just as bad as improperly trying to force progression. The show is about who is given the power to progress humanity and who's going to do their best with it. Kaito, who is admittedly going to become a tyrant and basically put everyone under his boot, or Coda, the person who would basically just hand the power off to someone else and just say, use it properly. That's naive, though. He can't just pass it off because he can't trust anyone with that level of power. There is literally no one in that group that he can trust with that. Mm. Who's he going to trust with it? If not Kaito. Yeah. He now cannot trust Kaito. It's now either Coda or Kaito. We're looking at a person who embodies stagnancy. He wants to go...
Like, if you think about it, there are only five riders left. We have Coda, Kaito, Michi, kind of, Zack, and Malika.
My counterpoint to that is, you say he doesn't trust Kaito. He still trusts Michi, for Christ's sake. After everything that happened, he was still on Michi's team the whole time. I feel like
he's almost literally took this
opportunity to look for the good in Kaito.
I'm not questioning whether or not he does trust Kaito. He may trust Kaito. My statement was that he shouldn't trust Kaito. He can't trust Kaito as a statement. He can't trust Kaito.
No.
He wants the fruit to do bad
things. He's now on an active campaign to conquer the world.
It's not a question of whether or not Kaito would trust Kaito. I know he would because he's, again, an imperfect character in the fact that, let's face it, he's kind of a dumbass.
I really hope, I know there's only a few episodes left, but my favorite part of the episode was just finding out that, there are different, realities and different scenarios of how this could actually end. So that, part that we saw in the beginning of episode one, that was just another reality of what would happen.
Yeah, so let's move on with the episode. So we finally come back to Mai, who is... butt fucked her way through time and discovered that world from episode one where Gaim and Baron are sending armies against each other and Zangetsu and Michi are up a hill watching, and we discover that this is not the actual future, this is not a possible future, this is just an alternate reality that represents infinite possibilities. I like how this infinite possibility just randomly has Gridon standing next to Baron, even though in the actual reality they are very much not allies anymore.
Maybe that was an alternate reality, because remember, like, when Jinochi and Hase got their powers, they just instantly turned on Baron, because they're like, why do we need you? We have our own belts. So maybe he decided, hey, let's stick with Baron.
Sure. It's not even worth trying to analyze at this point.
I love how no matter which reality, Hase is dead.
What was funny, though, I mentioned this before, but, like, back in the soccer world, when Hase was alive, he didn't have his belt.
Well, Hase is kind of the thing that got Kota's ass in gear. Kota seems to be a main player in more than one of these universes, as we've seen.
Yeah.
Because in the movie, it's in an alternate universe, and Kota is a main factor. I would imagine that he would have to die in all of the circumstances, just because Kota is, by his very nature, a person who requires that sort of push.
I would love it if just, like, one of, like a Hase from any reality just discovered this whole multiverse theory and finds out that he dies in every world. Damn it!
No, he will find that one possible world where he does survive.
And everyone else dies.
Yes. He got beamed in the head with a soccer ball and had an aneurysm.
I just had the worst thought in the world. And it's really the worst thought in the world. The thought was, God damn it, why did they waste the crucifixion card on that goddamn Denno O's movie? They could have really gone with all the Jesus imagery going around with Kota here and just in the end had him crucified.
I just heard, why did they waste the crucifixion card?
Yes. In a Denno movie, no less.
Well,
I
don't have an answer.
Question.
I did get to see crucified Denno.
That's just it. You may have answered your own question.
I don't think they wrote it specifically for me, though. I don't think that somewhere in Japan there was someone, oh, but that one Paul Marzek kid in Canada doesn't like Denno. Well, let's throw him a bone.
No, you know what?
They weren't crucified. They were just tied up on a post that conveniently looked like a cross.
They were scary at crosses. Judas Christ.
Crucifixion, though, is being...
No, you
anyways,
know what it was?
Never mind.
It was Yaoi fanfiction bait, because the person that was tied up there was a combination of Ankh and Momotaros.
Yes. Anyways. So, Minato has a fucking hard-on for Kaido, and's like, I'm with you there to the end. Kaido's just like, yeah, sure,
just,
bitch, whatever.
He just pulls a Black Rose. I'm with you to the end.
And, Kaido's out, like, summoning a bunch of Invis like a boss, which was actually pretty fucking cool. I like the imagery and, like, the shot that they did with that. That was pretty cool. And so Orange, Onochi, and Zack show up and just, like, oh, Kaido! And Zack's about to run up to him, and Orange's like, no! Something's off about him. Like,
His hair is evil!
No, I love how Orange just has this awesome sense of just knowing things. He knew Michi was in Takatora.
He knew not to eat the fruit.
Knows not to eat the fruit, and now he knows Kaido's just evil.
It's called combat sense. He's a Green Beret.
Yeah.
A soldier. He's seen this kind of shit before.
And we see this awesome fucking quick one-on-one, like, melee fight between him and Yoko, and it was fucking awesome.
And yeah, can we finally address that fucking... Yoko took Ryoma's belt after last episode and somehow became Malika with it instead of Duke, completely destroying all my theories on belts.
Okay, unless, of course, the writer form was specific to the lock seed.
Which makes no sense!
They're energy lock seeds, number one.
They were designed by Ryoma.
Yeah.
And frankly, they've never interchanged them.
And what? Three, it is a children's show.
We're way past that. Okay,
they've never once really
any of my problems with actually why it happened, I just want to point out the fact that this confirms one of two theories. A, Ryoma was not smart enough to DNA lock his belt, or, yes, he was cocky enough to just think no one would ever take it from him.
Yeah.
Of course he was, he's a dumbass.
Also,
I think
technically,
it's more the latter than
technically
the
speaking,
that's my guess.
I believe the cocky one more.
Three out of four energy riders are dead. Which
Yoko was the last surviving energy rider.
And which means Malika's gonna get her thing soon.
Baron.
She's going, either.
His is broken now.
Either
he's
Kaido's
still alive.
Either Kaido's going to kill Yoko for some reason because he's like, bitch, get the fuck out of my way.
Or what I said yesterday, and she's going to take a fatal blow.
Yeah, I gotta say, Raven's probably going to fucking call it.
Probably that.
She's going to take a hit. She's like, yeah, I did this for you. And when she became house,
it's
going to be like,
it's like, bitch, I don't care.
Matt?
Or maybe that will be the thing to finally melt his heart or some shit.
First the trees, then the bitches.
I hope
that his BDSM girlfriend died.
I hope that isn't what finally melts his heart, because she would fucking hate that.
Yeah.
That's true.
Also,
Jirachi. No, but that's the way he gets defeated. Not through actual combat with Coda, but by discovering love and loss.
She is 3 steps away from a FetLife profile.
Oh, okay. When Orin was confronting Kaido for a second, he still... This is what pissed me off, because Coda did this too. It pissed me off that, like, they don't go each other by first names. Coda still calls Orin Charmant Guy.
Charmant Olsen.
Orin keeps calling Kaido Monsieur Banane. And I'm like, you guys have been together for a long time. Call each other by your names, please.
Yeah, really.
What's wrong with Orin-san or Kaito-san? Like, fuck.
Monsieur Banane.
Banane.
Monsieur Banane.
Roxas. Roxas.
Put a link into Aichi's April Fool's video. That was funny.
Yeah.
Bravo and Grinnon gets their asses kicked because, for some reason, Zack turns on them. Wink, wink. We'll talk about that later. And... Bravo's gone! Yay! I don't get to see that ugly piece of shit ever again! No, Bravo's ugly.
Okay, first and foremost, go fuck yourself.
Yeah!
Second and second most, go fuck yourself.
Again!
But Gridon's gone, no.
Okay, about that, I feel like that just kind of... I mean, it's not like it was a theory that we necessarily had a leg to stand on to begin with, but I feel like that dishevels any and all notions of Jonouchi being the one to come out on top.
Yeah.
Or, you know, at the end of the day, he's just the one who comes out winning at the end of it.
I would just like to point out, before we discard completely Orin and Jonouchi, there are probably still a bunch of mass-produced drivers in the Yggdrasil building somewhere.
That's the thing.
No one's gonna step a fuck in that building anymore.
I feel like Lockseed's are wrecked.
They have vehicles. They can go back to Helheim.
So long as they have a belt, they could always pick more. If they can find more of those mass-produced belts in the Yggdrasil building, which chances are Ryoma did have some stashed away.
But that's a lottery.
We've
seen how long it takes to
At this point, it's Lockseed. Worth trying.
Okay, we have 3 episodes left. I don't think they're going
Probably
in that direction.
Not. No, I'm not saying it will happen. I'm saying it very well could.
As Sagara said, it's down to Coda, Kaido, and Michi.
And that's it. By episode 47,
that's the last 3 fucking people writers we're going to see in this show. So, next episode, Zack's going to be get fucking killed somehow. Monica's going to get fucking killed somehow.
And Michi, at this point, has lost the will to live.
And Takatora's going to come back, be like, yo, what's up, guys? Y'all snippety
dippity and die.
I think
Kaido's
going
to kill Zack.
Yeah.
No, guaranteed. I agree with you, because he's very, very clearly only doing this because he feels that Kaito is out of control.
Yeah. He's very obviously joined up with him to try and stop him from within.
And that's so gonna fucking work.
You are the what? You have one Loxie that's not even that great. Okay.
What I liked, because Coda eventually, like, he tries to find Kaido and he fights him because he knows something's wrong. He's like, I gotta stop Kaido, like, something's wrong
like
with him.
My overlord sense is tingling.
Yeah, so what I like first is that they both fight as orange arms and banana arms, so that's cool. And then, like, he goes Kachidoki and you think he's destroyed him, and even, like, Zack and Yoko are like, oh my god!
The funny thing about that
shot, he damn near blew up his fucking Sengoku dragon.
That's what I was about to say. I'm like, Baron gets shot, he's on the ground, his belt is gone. I'm like, did he pull up the fucking Sengoku driver?
Yes. Yeah. And that's a fantastic...
No, but we see Baron in the preview for next episode, so
yeah,
he didn't.
Fair point.
That's a fantastic little bit of imagery. Coda blew away the very last shred of Kaito's connection to him.
Except he didn't. We see Baron in the preview for the next episode.
Oh.
Yeah. Would have been nice.
That would have been great.
Yeah.
I was going to say, opportunity missed.
And I gotta give...
like so much
I
shotgun.
I gotta give great credit to the suit actors in this episode, because damn, just... These guys, they work so fucking hard and they do so well with, like...
You know what must have been really hard for a suit actor to do? Huh? For Knuckle to close his own lock seat.
No, but just seeing, like, Lord Baron...
I thought that was adorable.
Lord Baron fight, like, Kiwami, and just see Kiwami, like, fucking rolling over tables and shit, and I'm just like, well,
the poor furniture.
Well done, sir.
As always, the poor furniture.
Yeah. So Zack tries to fight off Coda, and then he goes up to him, and he's just like, run, tell the others, get the fuck out of here.
And then
I love how Zack, he de-henshings, looks over, and he's just like, whoops, he got away!
And he gets just
sorry! And Kaido's just like...
You shouldn't have done shit, brah.
Fuck you.
By the way, I like how fucking Lord Baron has Dumushu's weapon, which proves, once again, that yes, Kaido and Dumushu were analogous, much like Michi and Redaway.
Mm-hmm. And Lord Baron looks so cool.
Gaiman Roshuo, because he used his sword. By the way, for anyone who follows the toys, Arms Change Yomotsu Hegari comes with Dumushu's weapon, Redaway's weapon, and Roshuo's sword.
And some guy made a really cool Photoshop image of Overlord Arms.
Yeah, like,
so Gaim
with
took, like, Gaim's base and then just made, like,
all of
the Overlord-inspired arms for him. And it was, they
pretty
looked really
cool. Like,
nice.
Even, like, the no-name Overlords, like Duduanshu and Garincha.
Yeah, fucking Peacock one. I love that guy.
Roshuo Arms is pretty tits.
Well, overall, this was a pretty cool episode. We got to see the teaser of Drive, which I'm fucking... This is funny. The producer, or the director of Drive...
We'll talk about Drive after.
That's our special feature.
Yeah, I know, but it's really funny. I think Paul will get into this.
Stay tuned.
You'll find out later.
Go into this...
He's not pissed.
No,
he's fucking sick.
I know, yep. But he was hot trying.
He's
to hide
intensely
it.
Trying
so,
to hide his
okay,
sick.
Okay, we start like, this episode. We start. Okay, so in Tokyo episode 27, we start this episode where
with me being intensely sick of wagon shit by this point.
And
Christ,
me drinking. I'm gonna get drunk.
So the wagon comes up to the Tokyo Jiru, and they're like, "Light's acting funny. He looks really angry." Also, he didn't have breakfast, and all of them were like, eh?
No, that's the part that got them, too. It was like, he looks angry. Oh, I guess, well, there's a lot of shit. I guess he could be angry, but he hasn't had breakfast yet. What?
No, but you
not
know what's funny?
Right? Not eating.
Okay, so apparently he was hiding the fact that he was, like, he had a fever.
And but thinking back to that, just looking at him sit there angry, knowing that he's hiding a fever, that just looks horrifying.
No, fucking pissed off serious face Light is awesome. Like, I love it. I love that imagery. It's so cool.
Good,
he's,
it
like
won't
such,
last.
He's such a happy-go-lucky person, and just the fact seeing him like that, that's so cool. So they go to another Shadow Town. Oh, and meanwhile with Zed or whatever, and I'm sad I was wrong about this, we have a new character now. What the fuck's her name?
Marquis Mort.
So... judging by clips I saw in pictures, I thought it was Zed's mother, but apparently it's just someone who, like, watched
it's
over
that,
him.
It's that maid, it's that servant that watched over him and raised him.
Yeah. She's like...
Wahlberg is in this show now?
I know, right? Not Marky Mark. Marquis
Mork.
Robin Williams is in this show?
I love how
it's
the
a chick.
Was.
It's a chick.
I like how the Hyper Russia came in its own little toy box.
Did you stop Miss Stoutfire?
Yeah, Conductor fucking acted weird in this episode.
Conductor was such a derp.
He's just like making weird noises, and then while he's doing that, Ticket's still talking, and I'm just like, oh god.
And once again, just like last time, they went into a Shadow Town. The minute they get there, they find another awesome ass shadow. This time, the Bishop. With a fucking spinning saw blade.
Because,
on a steak!
You know, because the chess theme for the freaking Overseers wasn't obvious enough already, but
nope.
Hey.
Yep. Nicolas Cage is in this show?
Yep.
Quiet, Paul.
What?
I'm drunk.
Where did you get Nicolas Cage?
My brain.
No, I mean, what comment led you to come there?
My brain.
Okay, sure. Because, yeah, so this episode, they get the Hyper Russia, and it's like, One comment I wanted to make note of, the fact that the way they described it is, it powers up a Tokuger. Didn't say he powers up what, just light.
It's a dragon shield.
Which means other Tokugers will use it.
It's just, it requires some serious imagination, more so than your usual variety to use this thing at all. So I'm going to hand it to Wright, who's proven himself to have the strongest imagination out of the bunch.
This is a thing that requires lots of MP, so we're going to give it to the guy with the most MP.
Yeah, pretty much.
But that's just it. But you even notice that the first thing it does when he transforms is it's hyper Tokyo this person.
Yeah, which means...
So it's just to say that it's not like it's programmed or anything, but it is...
Well, we'll find out when we get the toy.
But if you looked at it, it looked like just like the Red Resha, but just with gold all over
it. It was designed to work with
Well, the
thing.
Armor is. The actual Red Hyper Resha doesn't look like anything.
Paul, for your information on this, because I know you didn't watch the episode... The Red Ranger got a new golden train thing that puts golden train armor on his shoulders.
No, I gathered that.
It's like the Dragon Shield, but a train.
How is it henching, though?
He puts the Hyper Resha in the brace.
Oh.
He and just puts it in his normal outfit with Dragon Shield.
Train, golden shield. Train shoulder pads.
But apparently he wasn't...
So was he supposed to flip out?
No, we're not there yet. Oh. You'll find out.
Oh.
But apparently, like, he wasn't strong enough to be able to use
it's
so
not
he
that.
Found...
He was just thinking the wrong way.
Yeah, so he figured out... He saw, like, these two children frozen or whatever.
While they're all lost in the Shadow Town.
While they were, like, in the middle of drawing, like, a golden train. And it was leading
to their
mom and dad.
Take them back to their
parents. Because apparently their parents were somewhere.
Because Shadow Town. Well, they lost their parents because they're in a town where... Apparently, the way they gathered darkness in this town was...
Misdirection.
They fucked with everybody's sense of direction, so everybody got the fuck lost in their own hometown.
So everybody in that town is Zorro?
Yes. That is exactly what happened.
I'm yelling too! That's awful.
And so here are these two kids in an alleyway somewhere, like, we don't know how to get home. Where are our parents?
So Light looks at this drawing of a golden train... And it starts to clue in what he has to do.
And then he became Setsuna from Gundam 00.
Okay, so this is this... Like, Tokuger really punched me in the face with its stupid this week. So they all meet up, and Emperor Zed and his mother-in-law, whatever, show up. And they're like, okay, let's fight. So the way that fucking Light gets the Hyper Resha to work is to imagine himself as a train... And smashing into everything, and that makes the Hyper Resha work, giving him the armor of a train, which he then uses to fucking tackle attack the monster.
Yep.
He imagines himself as a train,
sure.
And then train wrecks.
I just picture him with the voice of Setsuna FCA now.
Can you explain that joke? Because I don't get it.
What do you want? It is train.
Yeah, exactly.
Because Setsuna keeps saying, I am Gundam.
In Gundam 00, Setsuna is very much, he wants to be a Gundam himself.
Really?
Yeah. So, I looked at this episode and I just went, so Wright just became Setsuna.
Also, the Gundam is his loved one.
Yes.
Oh,
so now just because of that imagery, in the back of my head, I'm just thinking, okay, end of series, all the shippings have happened, Tokati and Mio is the thing,
I love
shit.
It.
Can Hikari and Kagura not be a thing, please?
No, it's
she's
Kagura and Akira.
There you go.
Only
after last
wagon get to be a thing.
After last week's episode,
and then the Yaoi fangirls get Light and Hikari. Yeah.
No, you have all this, and everybody's like during the final attack. Everyone's thinking of their loved ones, and you know everybody's thinking of each other, and then like Wright's just sitting there like Resha,
or food.
Or, no, Resha.
He is Luffy.
Okay, can I say when Zed and Hyper Tokyo Ichigo fought, it was like a DBZ level of awesome for a fight. Because
literally
light and darkness is going...
They literally stood there and went, while fucking dark and light energies clashed.
Just saying.
That one shot with, like, the dramatic coloring on them, when they're like,
but overall,
was actually
overall
cool.
This was...
Where they touched dicks?
Yeah.
Your comment on...
That was the one thing that really just bothered me, was they bothered to go out of their way to make this epic, blown out of proportion battle of light and darkness, and ends with, just because of the way they're positioned on the screen, it looks like their dicks touched in the middle, because they both just kind of went,
I'm making that the thumbnail now.
Yes, like, please
that,
do.
It was like, Done. That ended, they just touched dicks and, oh, that breaks the fucking
they came.
Tussle.
They both came light and dark.
Well, okay, your comment about the fucking having to pretend to be a train in order to have the thing work, that's one of the most old training cliches ever. To find the true power of train,
you must become the train.
What even?
Also, I have
be
to say,
the train, Ichi.
Be the train.
No.
As stupid as
not even Deno got that stupid.
Okay, so as stupid as Ichi thinks this is, I actually like the.
I don't
new
care
canon.
About liner form.
No, I like the new canon they have.
No, it's dumb. It took. He has to cock it 6 times to get the exact same result.
No, but if you see what the more extent of the actual canon does, he can place the other 4 colored rushes in the train, and then you
good,
take one.
Good, do that.
You go,
not when you've only got the one.
I'm buying it.
I know you are, because you find
and it
everything.
Comes in a huge-ass box.
Isn't that how you get the hyper rush?
That's how you get it.
Really?
So you have to get it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But
you
no.
Have to buy the canon.
But no, yes, when you have all the rushes there, sure, absolutely. But when it's just the one hyper rush and you still cack it all the fucking way around while the Emperor is very slowly approaching you.
Welcome to Token Logic.
I am very slowly walking towards you. Walking towards you menacingly.
While you charge your
what's
super
awesome
gun.
What's awesome is that Mork, like,
and then Mork's just like, you, jump in front and take the shot for him.
Yes!
Okay!
Yes,
I love how boom. There was zero hesitation.
It's like, oh, our Emperor's about to get shot by this really powerful attack we don't know the extent of. Okay, yeah, I'm gonna stand right in front of him and, oh god, I died.
So, oh god!
So how could this have happened?
No, you know what?
Children, I
you know what I'm calling this episode? Train takes Bishop.
Yes. Yes.
There you go.
But yeah, no, this is, for the reveal of the fucking super form, this was a pretty fucking dumb episode.
Well, welcome to Tokyo.
I didn't mind it. No. Okay, so here's something that I saw. Now, like, take this with a grain of salt, obviously, but, so you know, recently we saw a magazine scan of that Schwartz teams up with the Tokyugers.
Wow.
So, I saw an image where it seems like Schwartz gets, like, some, or, like, there's a new, like, Resha or, like, Megazord of some kind. And it looks like something Schwartz-related. So I think that Schwartz may be the next Tokyuger.
Could Schwartz be Tokyu Zero?
That's yes!
What I just said, yes.
Just think about that.
He does shine.
He shines and he allies himself with the Tokyugers at some point.
Ooh,
so
that would be cool.
I think that's because
it's becoming less and less likely that it's going to be Zed.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
See, because Zed no, because Zed's slowly starting to realize. Because Mork's like, you got to get over this fucking weakness that you have of like you being obsessed with light. You have a shit ton of darkness. Use it. And Zed's actually starting to be like, yeah, maybe.
I don't want to, mummy!
No, but he's slowly starting to realize that, like, his darkness is more powerful than him trying to quite,
I honestly
like,
think this whole episode was him humoring her whilst continuing to not give a fuck.
Oh, yeah, that was because that was the other thing, too. Like, he saw, like, Mark's... Look at this! This is what you're so obsessed with while seeing the Tokyugers getting their asses kicked. He's like, is this what you want? Is that really what you want?
Yes.
So
I love how she kept going on about, this is your weakness. This is your weak. And yet she never actually outright said what the weakness was. Just
although it's fairly
obvious. There.
This is
that.
It's
that over there. That's your weakness.
Yep.
Fuck, lady.
Like,
Zed's just
having,
like, the fuck.
Having 5 friends? I don't know.
Like, having friends and shit? I don't know.
Okay, so, like, I like the scene at the end of the episode where, like, light's back to normal and
everyone's sick.
Everyone
no,
else
no,
is
just
sick.
That one issue I have with this. So, light had that absolutely serious fucking fever, right?
Yep.
And then everybody left him alone to figure out the hyperresha, and suddenly he was absolutely better.
Mm-hmm.
It's because he imagined he was better.
Yeah.
And then everyone else got sick.
And then everyone else caught his fucking cold.
Including Ticket!
Including Mr. Hat!
And he had a little
conductor's like in a, like sitting in a chair with like a bag over his head.
Fucking
and his hand is on the chair next to him with a tiny blanket over Ticket.
I love how he's just called Mr. Hat in this group.
I love when they're, like, showing... They showed, like, an individual shot of each of, like, Tokyuger being, like, sick. And you just see Kagura just sitting there just being like, what is life?
Yeah, Kagura was...
For a second, I was like, oh.
When Kagura gets sick, she just has serious face.
No, I saw it, I was like,
good, because she never has that any other time.
It's gonna be okay, Kagura.
That's why it's weird.
Anyways, and so apparently next week's episode is going to be Light's Evil.
It's the Ranger trope.
No.
Ranger turns temporarily evil.
No. I'm guaranteeing you it's not Light turns evil. I'm guaranteeing you it's they fucked with everybody else's heads and made them think that Light was the bad guy and they all turned on him because of it.
Also possible.
Yep.
I'm guaranteeing you that's it because I somehow doubt anyone on the bad guy's side is going to be able to fuck with Light's head. Well, he's already enough of a fucking dumbass. I think he pulls this, he's too stupid for mind control trope.
Oh, that's pretty likely.
Yep.
Well, we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens.
Anyways, moving on to our special topic.
Featured topic.
Tokyuja Nurikae Kamen Rider Drive.
More drive reveals.
Drive.
Start your engines.
Yeah.
Just, I'd like to start this off with, I looked up the writer and director for Drive.
Wow.
We've already mentioned what the writer he wrote Kamen Rider Double. He's also responsible for Digimon Cross Wars.
Mr. Riku Sanjo.
Yes, we got Raymond in that.
Yeah. Not especially. No. The writer does not interest me. What interests me for this show is the director.
And apparently this is going to kick me right in the balls.
Two reasons, yes.
Just let me know.
Okay, so the director, Ryusu Sasaki, is the guy who directed Kamen Rider Black. And that look of absolute ecstasy on Paul's face right now. Also, he directed live-action Sailor Moon.
And now it's my turn to have happy face.
Oh, so...
Which is awesome because the woman who played Sailor Mercury in that was Coda's sister in Gaim.
Okay.
I like to imagine they said hi to each other passing through the building.
So people have been making jokes and stuff that like, oh, the car drives, it's like Knight Rider. And then the writer for Drive is like, yes, it's going to be Kamen Rider meets Knight Rider.
Oh, God
damn
it.
That is exactly what that trailer looks like.
Now I have to go watch Knight Rider.
Kamen Rider Black's director directing Knight Rider. That's what just happened.
Kamen Rider Black's director directed Sailor Moon live action?
Yes!
That's what you're focusing on?
Welcome to the conversation.
Why aren't you?
That's where my fucks went. That's a thing?
Yes.
I would just love to see Sailor Moon walking away from an enemy as they implode.
See, yeah. Gaim has a team that could not go wrong, and therefore I, as a person who likes to appreciate fiction, needed to go, okay, so this is going to be amazing on a fundamental, academic, amazing level.
But now it's time for Paul to find a bucket rider.
Yeah, it's time for me... This is going to either be horrendous or good in every single way I've ever wanted, ever.
It depends which road they choose to steer down.
Bucket to nut in.
I wasn't 100% sure where you were going with the bucket.
It's gonna be like in Dumb and Dumber where he tried to piss in a bottle but he realized that he had too much piss for the bottle. So he needed to get another bottle, and they couldn't find another bottle, so he just started pissing.
You know what? We'll get to a trash can.
And then he walked into a closet and used the apple juice bottle.
And started licking a hot dog.
Hey, man. It was one time, and that was because none of y'all get out of the bathroom. And boy, did I have to pee. The good news is we had apple juice for the next hour.
Can I just say that there's only one individual who needs to be the suit actor for Kamen Rider Drive?
Kamen Rider Black?
No. There's only one person on the entire planet who can do this. Some say he's not much of a dancer, and some say his farts caused the apocalypse. What? I want the Stig for Drive's suit actor.
Oh, God.
For all those Top Gear fans out there and all you car fans, the Stig is the masked test driver for the Top Gear team, and I would so unimaginably love it if they got the Stig to do Kamen Rider Driving. Am I the only one who thinks that looks like the opening shot to the Guyver theme song?
Yeah, it kind of does, doesn't it?
We're looking at a very close headshot of Drive with his head.
He's got a control medal in the same eyes!
I know, right?
I'm weirded out now.
Okay, so I've just pulled up what was recently posted. The summary of episode 1 of Kamen Rider Drive, which should give us a bit of a preview on how the series is going to go.
I'm watching this preview for the BMW M3. Just keep going.
Okay, so it's going to air October 5th, and I'm going to read the description all dramatic-like.
Man, you are exhaust, Jesus.
Oh, sweet Jesus, it is Knight Rider.
Yeah, they actually confirmed.
Literally, he puts the fucking driver in the car!
Damn it.
Puts it up to the car!
Damn it.
Because we've seen that the driver is intelligent. It's like an artificial intelligence, and I love it because the character who is Drive, he calls him Belt Son.
Now we
look at those donuts on that.
Shut up!
Shit!
Shut up!
Now we need to actually have Knight Rider as, like, a shift car. Anyways, here's the summary of episode 1. After a mysterious and destructive I'm doing it.
No.
After mysterious and destructive large-scale incidents happened all over the world, humans who were caught in a time-has-stopped-like sensation appeared frequently. In order to understand this phenomenon, the Tokyo Metropolitan Police Department set up a special unit to work on incidents that happened under special circumstances. Shinosuke Tomari, a police detective, will be assigned to the special unit due to the invitation of a certain person. And
ellipsis.
The BMW M3 has a really, really great great.
Fuck you! Stop paying attention to the ad.
No,
never. This is Drive.
So
it looks like I don't know if that's just the gimmick of the Monster of the Week for that episode, or if that's going to be a regular thing. But that's apparently what episode 1 is going to happen.
So
the monsters are really cool, though.
I'm just kind of looking up the filmography for the director again, just to pull up some extra stuff and see.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, no, he seems like he's one of Toei's main fucking directors.
Nice.
Just looking at that list of, like, the majority of Heisei. That he's either assistant director or main director.
Yeah.
Oh, also, he directed Akiba Ranger, apparently.
Nice.
Well, that's where the humor's gonna come from.
He's also the director of Gaim.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
So he's coming back.
Okay.
He also directed...
Oh, it's a Jin, right?
Hmm?
What's the character, the guy's name?
Ryo Tachisaki.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Also, let's see here. He also directed... Well, he was the co-director on Kabuto.
Wait.
Yeah.
Wait.
So, apparently, the man designing the monsters for Kamen Rider Drive, Takayuki Takaya, has credits under Kamen Rider Zeto and J. He is best known for designing the Bandai SIC toy line.
Oh.
Starting with the very first entry, Kikaider.
Oh.
And he's also apparently working in the upcoming live action Attack on Titan.
Yeah, I was like, wait, the monster designer is the guy that did SICs.
Oh dear.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I'm just looking over some of this guy's other stuff. He was also the main director for Agito.
Oh yeah?
Fies.
Oh shit.
Deno, Kiva, Decade, Double O's. Yeah, no, this guy's like their main go-to director.
So, another bit of interesting news.
Also, there's a handful of Sentai on here. There's two things that kind of stand out that make me wonder.
Shoot.
Co-director on Power Rangers Lost Galaxy.
Okay. Go.
Main director, Power Rangers Lightspeed Rescue.
Oh, yeah! Shit. Holy shit!
So, I'm sorry, did somebody just, like, misdo the title on that and make him the director for the English version instead of when he should have been for the Japanese one?
No, I'm pretty sure they actually hired Japanese staff for the Power Rangers version.
And that's what happened for those two Power Rangers series. He directed those.
Wow.
Oh, that's pretty
arguably.
All right, so I'm going to pass this around. So we found out that Drive's car, how is it pronounced?
The Toriteron.
Toriteron. It has alt modes.
Jeez, now we finally figure out what those fucking alt wheels are for. If I can pull up the image. There we go. So it's got two other modes, one of which it, like, gets up on its back wheels, and it looks like it has a face. And then the third mode looks like a vehicle that would be not out of place in a Beetleborg series. Like, it's got, like, horn claws.
That third form looks like a shitty Happy Meal toy.
it kind of does.
No, the one with the face looks like the shitty Happy Meal toy.
You know what? They'll have those as Happy Meal toys.
They all look
Japanese
like shitty
McDonald's.
Happy Meal toys.
No, that looks like a cool Happy Meal toy.
What, the one with the face?
No, this one.
Oh, that's the main form.
Exactly.
I'm saying this one with the face.
And the other two look like shitty Happy Meal toys.
Exactly. And Lane has to buy this so we can get one of the shift cars.
Yep. So I'm just like,
I'll take Trideron.
We'll go halfsies on the fucking car and the shift.
I'll take Trideron. I love transforming cars.
Okay. So in regards to drive, how his forms are gonna work? So instead of him just having like a totally different form, his tire on his chest changes. So. A tire
change.
Get it?
He's changing his tires.
So, as far as we know, he has Speed Form, and one of them that I'm looking forward to, Funky Spike.
As well as Max Flare and Midnight Shadow.
And Midnight Shadow, which is the one that comes with the car.
Funky Spike.
Yeah.
So, I'm gonna try not to invest too much into this, because, like, Toyland,
because... Famous last words.
Yeah, I know, for now. I always say that, and then I eventually buy tons of shit. But,
why the fuck would I buy...
Sucks to be you, Kevin. As I've seen, they're releasing a Kamen Rider Drive Lockseed and a Gaim Shift Car set, which is probably going to be for the Gaim Drive movie, so... Movie set.
Yeah.
So Kevin's just like, damn it.
So, moving on, news-wise, we may have mentioned this before, but the theme song is going to be sung by the actor who played Kamen Rider Eternal.
Yay!
That's pretty interesting.
Surprise drive.
Yeah. The producer confirmed that because he has Trideron, Drive does not ride a bike.
Of course.
They also gave us a bit of... There was a few spy shots taken of the filming of the Drive Gaim Movie Wars. Apparently Duke comes back in some form. We're seeing Ryugen and Zangetsu on set in one of the spy shots. So Takatora is going to be around.
That thing where Kota inevitably gets the golden fruit and like brings everybody back.
That would be cool.
Just saying.
Or it could be another alternate world.
Yeah, and apparently Duke...
balls to wish everyone Boo killed back to life.
Yes.
Apparently Duke gets some new red-looking form with like a ragged cape. It looks pretty cool.
Yeah, so right now everyone's just saying it's Cyborg Ryoma.
Yeah, that's the theory.
Anyways.
Little Red Riding Hood form.
Yes.
Wait, go back up. Kamen Rider Drive secondary rider announced.
The guy who rides shotgun in the writing room.
Veteran Ultraman rider Keiichi.
That's funny. Yeah,
Keiichi Hasegawa.
Yeah.
Keiichi Hasegawa, a veteran Ultraman writer, is the secondary writer of Drive.
And as of right now, we don't know if the villain, Machine Chaser, is actually a villain, like a writer.
Yeah.
He might just be, you know, a villain.
Oh, can I just... Okay, I'm now just looking at the filmography for the writer for Drive at this point.
Yeah.
Aside from Cross Wars...
Which writer is this?
The main one.
Sasaki?
Yeah, no, Riku Sanjo.
Oh, Sanjo, yeah.
I'm just looking at this. Man, that's a short list. apparently, he was a writer for the manga for Beat the Vandal Buster and Dragon Quest.
Oh, apparently Riku Sanjo also wrote Kyoryuger.
Yeah, which I'm staring at right now.
And
he also wrote Borzang.
Yeah!
Damn it! We were so close!
And suddenly, my hopes for this series are dropping very fast.
Given three episodes.
Apparently, for Tokusatsu,
he's apparently wrote Double, Forze, Kyoryuger, and now will be writing Drive.
Apparently, the series producer, Takahiro Omori, was the producer for Kyoryuger also, so there's a big Kyoryuger influence here. That speaks well to me.
I don't want this to fucking
also,
start.
Apparently he wrote
I have a strong feeling that the story for the show is not going to be good, but it's going to be a very action-y show.
I'm hoping it's not Forze.
Here's an interesting bit of information. The monsters Kamen Rider Drive fights are called Roy Miudo. They're a group of 108 monsters awoken because of an event called Huge Acceleration.
Which is probably why in that trailer we saw a bunch of explosions around Japan. They just showed a fucking a zoom out shot of Japan, just saw explosions happening everywhere, and I was like,
So they're monsters that use viral cores, which are like evil shift cars, which makes sense because Double's Rider. And apparently the monsters actually evolve.
Double and Forza's Riders.
Yeah. So, of course, the first three monsters in the series are Cobra, Bat, and Spider.
Yep, of course. Like, the Bat was... Yeah, no.
Spider.
And Spider. Always. Bat and Spider. They're there.
Yep. And, let's see. I think there's some information regarding his drive's powers. Apparently, his rider kick is called the Speed Drop.
And it's just like a generic rider kick.
And he has a rider punch called the Turbo Smash.
Cool! Yay! Rider Punch. We haven't had one of those in a while.
Oh yeah, and apparently his form change. Apparently his form change gimmick is actually called Tire Change.
Yeah.
Max Flair has the speed or the power of fire and the ability to perform a move called Flare Stream.
Which, honestly, in my opinion, which is going to make the figure art of Drive very simple because, honestly, if you don't like the tire, he's just going to come with various tire accessories that just, you know, you can put on whatever tire you want on him. But the tire will be an optional part that you can probably remove. And if you don't like the tire on him, take it off. There you go.
Probably.
So, all I know is I'm picking up this figure for fucking sure.
Moving on for the main abilities. Funky Spike apparently turns him into Type Speed Spike. He has an attack called Spike Tornado.
Yay.
And lastly, Midnight Shadow, which apparently gives him the ability to throw shadow shurikens.
Yay!
It's a ninja form.
Yeah.
Yay.
It's a ninja form.
Get it? Because speed.
Speed!
Yep.
Anyways, I think we're digging a bit too much at this
point. We've revealed quite a lot, so.
So I think we're digging a tad too much now.
Thanks, Oren's Range.
Yep.
So I guess that's about it for us here at Cast Ranger for this week. Thank you very much for tuning in. As always, you can subscribe to us on the Podbean website, castranger.podbean.com. You can find us on iTunes, just search Cast Ranger, one word. And,
updates will pop up on the Ixie Studios Facebook page, Twitter, Tumblr, all that shit.
All at the same time, whenever the auto export decides to work.
Whenever the fuck I notice it, yeah.
Okay, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. Everyone say bye.
Bye. Bye.